Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia through the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Okay, welcome everybody to Hot Topics, where today we are going to be discussing the following hot topic. Speaking in tongues with an unfruitful mind? Is that biblical? Now, before some of you shake your heads and say, no way is that biblical, which, by the way, I agree with you, we need to take a look. If you have your Bibles, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and take a look at verse 14, where the Apostle Paul said to the Christians there in the Corinthian church, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful." Now, on the surface, it could seem that Paul was actually endorsing this. Praying in tongues with an unfruitful mind. Praying in tongues where you suspend your thinking so that you can much easier connect with God. And so there are those in the charismatic Pentecostal movement who will use verse 14 as one of their anchor verses for speaking in what they call tongues and not using their minds, even admitting that they're not quite sure what they're saying, but they will say, according to Paul, 1 Corinthians 14:14, it's okay that your mind is unfruitful because you're now praying in the spirit that surpasses your mind and you're connecting with God in a more intimate, holy way. So again, the hot topic today is praying in tongues with an unfruitful mind. Now, if you've been with us in our series that we've been in now probably for, I don't know, maybe a couple months, we have been studying 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and we're now in chapter 14. These three chapters, the overall theme of these three chapters, the Apostle Paul was talking to the Corinthians about spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts, which are given to every born-again believer by God the Holy Spirit, given according to the will of the Holy Spirit. Spiritual gifts, their purpose is for the common good, to build up and bless and edify the body of Christ, all for the glory of Christ. Well, we know that there were some problems in that Corinthian church when it came to the use and misuse of spiritual gifts. In particular, the use and misuse of the spiritual gift of tongues. And again, if you've been with us throughout this series, you know that, especially here in chapter 14, when the Apostle Paul uses the word tongue in the singular, he is referring to the counterfeit, ecstatic, nonsensical gibberish, which nobody could understand, nobody could interpret. In fact, even the people who were speaking in ecstatic gibberish, they couldn't understand what they were saying. That ecstatic gibberish did not come from God. It came from the pagan mystery religions. So in chapter 14, almost in every occurrence where we see Paul using the word tongue in the singular, he's referring to the ecstatic gibberish. There are a few exceptions. We saw one last time, but the context makes it clear what he's talking about. Last time we saw that he was referring to the actual tongue, the physical part of your body, right? And again, as we get towards the end of this chapter, we'll see a couple more exceptions. But the majority of the time, when Paul uses the word tongue in the singular, he's talking about the counterfeit. When he uses the word tongues in the plural, he's talking about the real, genuine gift of tongues, which the apostles had, and which some in that Corinthian church had, because the real, genuine gift of tongues was still in operation back then. We teach that that real, genuine gift has ceased, but back when Paul was writing this letter to the Corinthians, the real gift still was in operation. And so, with that context in mind, here in chapter 14, Paul starts out by really rebuking those who were speaking in a tongue singular, the ecstatic gibberish. And he continues to rebuke them, starting in verse 13 all the way down to verse 19, where he says to them, therefore. What is that word, therefore? Well, what did he just say up in verse 12? We saw this last time. Since you're eager for spiritual gifts, seek to abound for what? The edification of the church. Isn't that the purpose of spiritual gifts? To edify the body of Christ. Well, after saying and rebuking the Corinthians, saying, hey, how about using your gifts to edify the church? Which, by the way, ecstatic gibberish cannot do. He then, in verse 13, says, therefore, let one who speaks in a tongue singular, he's talking about the counterfeit, the ecstatic gibberish, bata, bata, bata. Let one who speaks in a tongue, and then Paul gets sarcastic with him. He says, how about you pray that you can interpret and understand what you're saying? Again, we know that's what he means, because just hop over to verse 9, which we studied last time. Paul said to them, so also, unless you utter by the tongue, in this context, he's talking about the actual part of your body, unless you utter by the tongue speech which is clear, which bata, bata, bata is not, unless you utter by the tongue speech that is clear, how will it be known what is spoken? How can the church be edified? It can't. And he said to them, end of verse 9, you will be speaking into the air. And hop over to verse 13 when he said, therefore, let one who speaks in a tongue, bata, bata, bata. Here comes the sarcasm. How about you pray that you can interpret what you're saying? Because nobody can understand you. You're speaking into the air. Do you see Paul's sarcasm? And then verse 14. For if I pray in a tongue, singular, bata, 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 ecstatic gibberish, which nobody can understand. Look what he says here. He says, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. Is Paul endorsing that? Or is he rebuking that? He is absolutely rebuking that. The context makes it clear. And even the verse itself, the words that he uses, make it abundantly clear that he is not promoting praying in tongues with an unfruitful mind. Verse 14, again, if I pray in a tongue, which he just said, you're speaking in the air. Nobody's being edified. And if you keep doing that, how about you pray that you even understand that you can interpret it? Because he says, if I pray in a tongue, and he uses himself as a hypothetical example. If I pray in a tongue, whose spirit prays? My spirit, not the Holy Spirit. Guys, you have to understand, in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is never referred to as my spirit or your spirit. He's referred to as the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. When Paul here says, if I were to pray in a tongue, bata, 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 my spirit prays. But my mind is what? Unfruitful. Again, I ask, Is Paul promoting that or is he rebuking that? He is absolutely rebuking that. Nowhere, I mean nowhere in Scripture, do we see this idea of worshiping God with an unfruitful mind? Let me give you a couple examples. Let's see what Jesus has to say about worship. Go to Matthew 22. The greatest commandment. Matthew 22, starting in verse 36, one of the religious hypocrites came up to Jesus as a teacher. Which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God. How? With all your heart, with all your soul, and don't worry about your mind. It's okay if it's unfruitful. Is that what Jesus says here? No. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. When we are worshiping God, when we are praising Him, when we are praying to Him, our minds need to be engaged. Our minds need to be filled with the Word of God, which then directs us to high, holy, reverent worship of God. To suspend your mind and let your emotions run wild in uncontrolled frenzy and a cacophony of chaos where you're involved in ecstatic gibberish that you don't understand, nobody else understands, and to say it's okay to pray in those type of tongues, which, by the way, ecstatic gibberish, as we've been studying, was not the real gift. The real gift, back then, somebody had been given the ability by God the Holy Spirit to speak clear, intelligible foreign languages, which could be understood. Not bata, bata, bata. And so, because again, what's the purpose of your spiritual gifts? It's not for self-edification, but for the edification of the body. And so this idea of speaking in a tongue, gibberish, where your spirit prays, your emotions run wild, and your mind is unfruitful, Paul was not endorsing that. He was rebuking that. And again, look at the words of our Lord. He says very clearly here how we are to love, adore, and worship God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. In fact, just hop over to John chapter 4 when Jesus was speaking to and saving the Samaritan woman. In John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, Jesus said to her, an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers, as opposed to the false worshipers. And the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father. How? In spirit, with all your heart, and truth. With all your mind. For such people, Jesus said, the Father seeks to be His worshipers. Verse 24, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him how? In spirit and truth. Suspend your mind where your mind is unfruitful. Not a chance, according to our Lord Jesus Christ. Back to our text in 1 Corinthians. So I think you're understanding Paul's purpose and tone. When he said to them in verse 13, therefore let one who speaks in a tongue, ecstatic gibberish, Paul says, how about you pray that you can understand and interpret what you're saying? Because nobody else can understand it. You're speaking in the air. Verse 14. Paul now uses himself as a hypothetical example. He says, if I pray in a tongue, you know, the great apostle Paul, if he goes, if I use ecstatic gibberish, it's my spirit that's leading that, not the Holy Spirit. And my mind is unfruitful. Verse 15. Paul says, what's the outcome then? When I pray, Paul said, I'm going to pray with the Spirit. I'm going to pray with the mind also. But of course, isn't that what our Lord Jesus said? He said, and I will sing with the Spirit, with all my heart, and with my mind also. Otherwise, verse 16, if you bless in the Spirit only, if you're praying or thinking you're singing and praising in ecstatic gibberish, and your mind is not engaged, Paul says, let's say someone comes into the church, an ungifted man, an unlearned man. How's he going to say amen to what you're supposedly praying and praising since he doesn't know what you're saying? And again, what is the purpose of spiritual gifts? To edify the body. So hopefully you can see this entire text is a rebuke. Verse 17, he says, you might think that you're giving thanks well enough when you're doing this ecstatic gibberish, but the other person is not edified because they can't understand what you're saying. And then verses 18 and 19, Paul said, I thank God. I speak in tongues, plural, the real, genuine gift. I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. However, Paul said, in the church, I desire to speak five words with my mind, so that I may instruct others, bless them, edify them, exhort them with the word of God, rather than 10,000 words, a myriad of words in a tongue. Bata, 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 bata. Do you see it? And so, praying in tongues with an unfruitful mind and calling that your personal private prayer language or an angelic prayer language? No. And yet, that's what you see happening in so many modern churches today. We had a lady come to one of our services. I don't know, this was a while back. And I mean, she had attended for a couple of weeks, and, you know, we go deep. I mean, we go verse by verse, deep expositional preaching, high and reverent and dignified worship, where we actually use our minds and we think about the words we are saying and singing to our Lord. Well, she loved it. She had been, for a long time, caught up in the charismatic word of faith movement, which was all about uncontrolled emotions and, you know, unfruitful mind and this, that, and the other thing. And she kept coming back. And she was learning. After the service, she would come and ask a ton of questions. I mean, it was great. And then one day she said to me, she said, but I'm waiting for more in the service. And I knew exactly what she was talking about. That was what she had been used to for all those years. And I'm not saying this as a criticism to her, by no means. I mean, a wonderful, wonderful woman. And one you could see really wants to grow in her love, intimate love for God. But because she had been so taught and mistaught that, you know, true worship is only when you start breaking out in ecstatic gibberish, You're praying in the, quote, spirit, unquote, and you're not using your mind. Well, I took her to Scripture, and you could just see that there was a kind of a level of discomfort, because she had been so used to reading verse 14 in a different way. And it's tough because, look, you've got to be patient with people. Maybe for some of you listening to this teaching today, or if you've been going through our series, maybe you had been brought up learning 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 in a very different way. And suddenly you're hearing it taught in verse-by-verse exposition, comparing Scripture with other Scripture, and maybe it's making you feel a little uncomfortable because you're going, wait a second. I loved my pastor or pastors. They had taught me this way. Now all of a sudden you're teaching me, and there's an affiliation there. And it's hard sometimes because you never want to come across and say, well, your pastors didn't know what they were talking about. You never want to do that. And so it just takes time. And what I recommend to people, because we have people in our congregation that come from all kinds of different church backgrounds. And inevitably, there's going to be some who come from, you know, the charismatic Pentecostal background. And so you never want to really slam them or make them feel like their pastors lied to them. No, you never want to do that. You just want to continue to show them in the Scriptures that which God meant by that which God said. And it takes time. You have to trust in the power of the Holy Spirit to do His work through the Word. I cannot convince somebody. I don't try to dare to convince somebody. I want the Holy Spirit to do that through His Word. And so I will recommend to maybe some of you, as I've recommended to this lady and others, maybe who had learned 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 in a different way growing up, I would recommend to you to just go on our website and just re-watch the videos, or start watching the videos from the beginning, starting in chapter 12. Again, we've been in 1 Corinthians now for a while. We started, obviously, in chapter 1, verse 1, and we've been making our way through. But this particular series really has been one that has been a hot topic, because the majority view in most modern churches today is that it's okay to speak in ecstatic gibberish, to call that tongues, where your emotions run wild and your mind is unfruitful. That, unfortunately, is the majority view today. And hopefully you see that that's taking that out of context. And yet I know for some of you, maybe it's tough for you to digest that right now. That's why I want you to go slow. Again, I'd invite you to go and start in chapter 12 and watch all those teachings. We're still not finished here in chapter 14. We've got a few more weeks left. But as you watch the totality of the teachings and understand the context, well, we're going to trust in the Holy Spirit to work through His Word in the way He chooses to do so. But this idea of suspending our minds so that our emotions can just run wild, where you're speaking in some unknown language or chanting, whatever it may be, and saying that's from the Holy Spirit, by the way, the Spirit of truth, and saying that that is how God wants to be worshipped. Wait a second, didn't Jesus say how we are to love God and worship Him? With all our heart, with all our soul, and all our mind. Didn't Jesus say that the type of worshipers the Father is seeking to be His true worshipers are those who worship Him in spirit with all their heart and their minds, to worship in truth? Look, you cannot properly worship God unless you know about God. And how is it you know about God? Through subjective emotional feelings? No. We learn more about God through His already given objective propositional truth. And so the deeper we go in the Word of God, the higher we go in proper, reverent heart and mind worship of God. We don't want to attempt to worship God in our own way or according to our emotions. Didn't Jeremiah say, under the power of the Holy Spirit in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart, is deceitful. It's wicked. We want our hearts to be informed by our minds. We want our minds to be informed by the Word of God. And over in Colossians chapter 3, as I conclude, proper worship, being filled with the Holy Spirit, well, verse 16. It's when you let the Word of Christ which richly dwell within you. God's truth in your mind. God's truth sinks down into your heart. And the result is, you want to talk about worship? With all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, you're doing it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Speaking bata bata bata, nonsensical gibberish? And having an unfruitful mind? Is that what God wants from us? Hopefully you now understand that the answer is absolutely not. Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.